Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we're going through our series on Romans chapter 8 again, and today we're going to look at just one verse, Romans 8 verse 18, and it's very relevant to where we're at the moment in the turmoil of today's world. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your goodness, and the power of your word. We thank you for the hope that you put in our hearts. Today, as we study your word, help us to realize how important it is and how true it is, and let us latch onto it with our whole heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the verse. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, I just need to go to a little bit of Greek here. That last little bit, revealed to us, is actually the word ice. It means revealed into us. And it goes right deep down into us. It's revealed to us, but it doesn't just stop with our mind. It goes down into our inner being. It's a transformational glory that will come from heaven and be revealed into us, and we will receive a resurrection body. We'll go from perishable to imperishable, from mortal to immortal, and all our nature will be changed. We'll go from a carnal person to a spiritual person, an earthly man to a spiritual man, and we will be in the presence of God in great glory and great power. And we shall be sons of God. We shall be like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, we don't know what we're going to be like, but we will be like him. And we will find that will be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. Let's have a look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. He's writing to people that are full of doctrinal problems, and he tells them to focus their mind on things above. Let's go Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So you're going to be revealed with Jesus in glory. The revelation is going to make you real, the real person that you've always been in Christ. If you are in Christ, if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, your full new creation will be revealed. And it goes on for the big chunk of Romans 8 saying how all of creation will be liberated when the sons of God are revealed, when we're uncovered. At the moment, we're covered in flesh and in sin and in weakness, but we will no longer be weak when Christ returns. We will be strong. We will be immortal. We will see clearly, and we will know as we are fully known. We will know all spiritual things. At the moment, we know small fractions of things here and there. But God will know us, and we will know God, and we will be part of a vast spiritual realm into which we will be receiving an inheritance. And that inheritance will be something that's described in the previous verse, verse 17, where we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We become part of God's cosmic inheritance. Jesus inherits the universe. All things are made through him and for him, and in him all things consist. The universe is upheld by the word of his power. He is heir of all things, and we become co-heirs with Christ as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. It says that in Hebrews 2. So we're heading into a world of glory, an eternity of glory, where we have his nature, his love, his joy, his peace. We are loved by God, by the angels, by the saints that have gone before us. We enter into a kingdom of God full of peace, full of quietness, full of glory. And we enter into this realm that is far better than anything we know now, because we live in a world of shadows and of sin and of persecution and struggle and strain at the moment. Some days we wake up disgusted with ourselves. Some days we wake up disgusted with our work. Some days we're stressed out by our family or by the politics that this nation is going through at the moment. And there's always turmoil, there's always pain, and in many places in the world there's persecution. And every day is a struggle for some people. Some people wake up with terrible chronic illnesses or relationship problems, and they're going through this and that. But all this thing, all the things we're going through now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Now, I'm not trivializing what you're going through. I've been in ministry 40 years. I've been a missionary most of that time. I've had great financial struggles, personal struggles, church struggles, been through church splits and all sorts of things. I've had malaria, ups and downs of life. We all go through them. We have family problems. As we get older, our parents pass away. Things happen in life that are bitter and harsh. And what I've been through is one thing. What you're going through is another thing. But some days we wake up and we think we can't bear it any longer. But there is a glory that is coming. There is a great glory that is coming into your life at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when all the evil in this world is dealt with, and you are revealed in glory, and Jesus is revealed in glory, and you are revealed with him. And you become an eternal creature, full of resurrection power and glory. I don't know if we get wings or not, but just we assume we get our wings. We fly away with Jesus. We meet him in the air, and we have a resurrection body, and we become part of an eternal company of God gathered around the throne. And he wipes away every tear from our eyes. There's no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, and no more pain. For God reveals stuff in us that is so much greater than all we have been through. And all we have been through, in some ways, just forms our character so that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So all the things that the Romans were going through were working for their good. And they were going through tough times. This epistle is written to the Romans. And I think you all know that they were being thrown to lions. They were being thrown to wild beasts. They were being executed. They were being persecuted. They were living in the catacombs underground. They were being covered with pitch and bitumen and set alight, alive, and used as human torches as the emperors and the officials came through. The Christians were being dreadfully persecuted. Later on in Romans 8, it says, all day long we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So here these Roman Christians were just like sheep being slaughtered. They were going through terrible persecutions, just like many Christians in Nigeria and the Islamic world and some places in China are going through today. The world hated them. The world was crucifying them upside down. That's what happened to the Apostle Peter. Paul was beheaded. Paul was probably in prison almost as much as he was out and about as an apostle. So his imprisonments came and went. He was imprisoned by the Jews. He was imprisoned by the Romans. People laid in wait for him to kill him. And time and time again, he was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. And we know that he went through a tremendous amount of suffering. Why did he go through that suffering? So he could be sanctified, so he could preach the gospel, so he could be holy, so he would live in the spirit and not in the flesh. The people who are living in this world, worldly people, they don't get persecuted. The people living in their flesh, they don't get persecuted. They might get scolded. The people who conform to the culture don't get persecuted. The people that are quiet and hide in a corner rarely get persecuted. But it's those that live boldly for Jesus, those who want to be godly and live godly in the wicked world, those are the ones that get persecuted. And they also are the ones that get a great reward from God. Over in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, just after the Beatitudes, this is what Jesus says. Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the prophets that came and spoke the truth of God to the culture, they were persecuted, they were sawn in two, they were put down wells, they were killed in multitudinous ways. And as Christians speak up against the wickedness of this age, as we speak up against abortion, as we speak up against infanticide, as we speak up against sexual sin and impurity, as we speak up against the vile things in our culture, there will be a sense in which we will be persecuted and people will say vile things about us and insult us for our stance for righteousness. But God says, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So You're going to enter into a great heavenly inheritance. You're going to enter into great glory as long as you stand up for Jesus and don't back down. You have to be a strong Christian. You have to hold on to truth and not unto lies. And we find all these people now pushing agendas that are lies, that are everything against Christianity, to make us say things that are against the gospel, to make us love wickedness and hate righteousness, to make us cave in to the culture around us. And you must not cave in. When you cave in, you may have some temporary peace and quiet. You might hold your job. You might have some money. You might keep a friend or two. But those friends aren't worth keeping, because you're throwing away your eternal reward. You're throwing away your glory in order to conform to this world. Let's look at verse 13 in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So when you lose your saltiness, when you stop having distinct Christian values, you're useless to God and you're thrown underfoot. You've lost your heavenly reward. You've lost your integrity. You've lost your dignity. And you've lost your distinctness, and you're no longer a light. Next verse, Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the hill. A city set in a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Your Christianity has to be visible. And when it's visible, you'll get persecuted. But when you get persecuted, you get a reward. So let your Christianity be visible. Let your Bible-based values be visible in your life, even if it's going to cause you a bit of trouble. Now, you sometimes need to be a bit wise about how you do that, but still, let your Christianity be visible. Let Christ be evident in your life. Let your love, joy, and peace, let your moral values, let them be evident before men in your workplace, at home, and in church. Not just something to talk about at Bible study, but something you put into action. When people see you, let them see a person who's honest, who's loving, who's kind, whose sexual values are straightforward, who's not doing drugs, who's not getting drunk, who's not going to those awful parties and doing awful things. Let your dating life be pure. Don't go from person to person. Don't go into sexual immorality. Don't go to the kind of parties where people do awful things and go off into rooms with one another. That will ruin you. It will ruin your life, and it will ruin your Christian witness. You need to repent of all of that and lead a distinctly Christian life, in values, in word, in deed, and in your very behavior. And as you do that, the suffering that you go through to get rid of sin in your life, the suffering that you go through to stand up for testimony as a Christian, these sufferings of the present age are not even worth being compared to the glory you're coming to. You're headed for glory. You're in this world for 70 or 80 years. Sometimes that can be tough, but you're spending eternity in glory. And so how you live now will determine the level of reward you get then. And I want you to have a glorious reward. When Jesus comes back, I want you to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want you to have a tremendous reward in heaven. So don't worry about the stuff you're going through now, even though it's tough and it's difficult. And I appreciate that. But still, stand up for your faith and be a distinctly Christian. And then you will have great glory and great joy when you're found in the presence of the Lord at his return. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. God bless your day now, in Jesus' name. Amen.